transmitters across the United States were silenced. But what has that silence revealed? Radio voice phenomena and paranormal occurrences are at an all-time high. Sylvia, our VP, is on the case.
You might have missed some object humping.
Join our host, Eric Dion, and his two lovely co-hosts in cat suits, Jess and Amy, as they attempt to unravel the universe.
Go monsters!
In small caffeinated bursts. Sylvia, our VP Radio, on Monday nights at 10, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
What are you touching?
I'm not touching anything.
Rule number five.
Notice, cat suits may only appear in your imagination.
Welcome to Sepia RVP, Radio Voice Phenomena, with your host Eric Dion and his two co-hosts, Jessica Dion and Amy Dreammaster. We'll talk with the foremost experts in paranormal activity and share our thoughts with you every week here on Sepia RVP. Now here's your host, Eric Dion.
Welcome to Sepia RVP Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sepia RVP, as Frank just said, and I just sounded like a broken record. Yeah. Wicca, wicca, wicca. All right. I'm Eric Dion, your host tonight. I'm a little off kilter, maybe.
Because of this.
With me, my two lovely co-hosts, Jess and Amy. And if you're watching the webcam, which you can view at the live video feed at the top of the Para-X chat room, you'll notice that we're in different positions. What we're doing different positions, yeah. Nice. I'm not the oddball, because I'm not lucky enough to have a Para-X t-shirt. Tom and Dave don't love me enough to give me a Para-X t-shirt.
Right here.
So, but what we're doing is we're rotating positions each week. This week, Jess is in charge of the keyboard, so if you're in the chat room, you'll be talking to Jess.
It takes a while to respond.
Next week, Amy will be in charge of the keyboard, and then after that, I'll be back in charge of the keyboard. So we're going to give you a little variety and stuff, so we'll be rotating throughout everything. So we want to thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a fantastic show lined up for you. But before we get started, we must say thank you to Reverend Tim.
You rock.
We know the Black Cat Lounge always leads into a great show with Sepia. Fantastic.
Wow. We should thank Rusty for having us on.
Yes, and Rusty, thanks for allowing us to come onto the show before Reverend Tim's show tonight and letting us shamelessly plug our show ahead of time. Why you let us do that, I don't know. Maybe it's because...
You feel bad for us.
I think it's pity.
Yeah, that or... Because the girls are going to come over and play with your didgeridoo. I don't know.
Shazam!
But, like I said, we have a fantastic guest with us tonight. And without further ado, would you ladies like to introduce him?
Seems turn. I did it last time.
Well, we have an author here by the name of Rob Thompson, who wrote the book From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper. I'm showing it to the people in the world of chat, and I'm, like, moving it around so nobody can
read it.
Yeah. And it's on there, too. And we will be giving away three. They can't hear me. Well, do I have to yell? Can you hear me now?
You gotta speak up.
Speak up, Johnny. Anyways, we've got three wonderful copies of this book, and we will be giving them away this evening. We will let you know how to win them. And without further ado, welcome, Rob.
Hey, thank you. Let's make that a four free book that someone can spell didgeridoo.
I'm out of that one.
Gotta look it up.
Didgeridoo.
Yeah.
So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Winter has come to Western New York. It's topped out. Summer has never really topped out at more than 65 up here.
Oh my!
Oh, and we've had lucky.
The floods. It's been a nasty, nasty summer up here.
That's what I'm hearing from the people back home in Michigan. That it's not been very nice there either. Wish we could say the same.
But thanks for having me on. I'm kind of looking forward to talking about the new book here. We were it's my fourth overall, and we've taken a new approach with the Jack the Ripper topic, and we turned it into a novel. How would Jack the Ripper tell his own story? And you know, how would he? And we hope people will take a look at this. And I tell it from the mind of a prime suspect in the crimes, Francis Tumblety, who is a doctor from Western New York, grew up in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, sorry. With
I'm reading.
Now, how's the last name? Tumblety.
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 Yeah, it's
and the name
He had such a confusing name, and which allowed him to come up with so many aliases over his lifetime. And he used everything from Twombly to Timblety, and that allowed him really to skirt from one city to the next by inserting one letter here and taking another one out over there, and he got away with it. He's buried up here in Rochester. Even the spelling on his grave marker is different than the one that was listed in newspaper accounts of his life. So he was quite a character, and we do in the novel follow actual police reports of Scotland Yard, actual coroner inquests about the murders, and we tell the story as Jack, Dr. Tumblety, may have told it. And you know, I told you guys off the air, I'm 20 years in recovery. You know, I'm a 20-year recovering addict, and getting into this line of thought, trying to get in the mind of a serial killer, was kind of some people would say it was a short walk, but for me it was really an interesting journey. You know, how would a madman think? And I think I made a pretty good presentation in the book. Which worried my wife, I have to say.
Now, actually, I've had a couple people ask, because of the title, From Hell. Everyone's like, is it anything like the movie with Johnny Depp?
Well, there were three pieces of evidence that stand out to me anyway, and they were all letters. I guess they were called evidence. There were three different letters. One was the Dear Boss letter. That was actually the first time he used, whoever used the word or the phrase Jack the Ripper was in the Dear Boss letter. Up to that point, he was called by the press the Whitechapel Murderer. Then there was one called the Saucy Jack Postcard, which is just kind of a, you know, catch me if you can type of letter teasing the authorities a little bit. Then the one that most folks believe was actually from the killer was called the From Hell letter, and that was sent to George Lusk, who headed up the Whitechapel Vigilante Committee at the time. And they believed it was from the killer because in accompanying the letter in a small box was a piece of kidney. And it was believed that kidney came from one of the murders committed on the night of the double event. That was end of September, 88. So they tied it in with, you know, it's a piece of kidney, and you know the guy kind of knew what was going on. So they kind of believed that was an actual letter from the killer. Now, I get that a lot. Was the title of the book from the Johnny Depp movie? No, it wasn't from Johnny Depp. It was from the letter. And you know, Johnny Depp. I gotta admit, I don't like him as a some aspects of his life, but he's a hell of an actor. And he played Inspector Aberline, I think, in that movie. If you notice, they followed the conspiracy theorist's view that the Masons were involved in it, and the Masons were covering up to protect the Queen and successor to Queen Prince Albert. Well, there were also other theorists that believe that, you know, because a large amount of Irish immigrants and Polish Jews that came to the East End of London at the time, that the Jews were responsible for the murder. So one side tried to make the other look worse, you know, but I don't believe it was the Masons, and I certainly don't believe it was any immigrants. I believe it was a visitor from Prigwood in the city, and he came from Western New York.
Now, talking about the Masons and stuff, the character of the book, so was he involved with, like, the Masons at all?
I've never been able to find out anything about his being associated with Masons. He is quite a character.
I was going to say, he was considered what people back then considered, like, a quack doctor, like an herbalist and whatnot, or, like, what people consider nowadays as a spiritualist and,
right,
homeotherapy, stuff like that.
Homeotherapist. Not offending any current homeotherapist out there in the audience right now, but he grew up, from the notes I've been able to gather, pretty much as an orphan and wandering the streets of Rochester, New York. He worked at canal boats up on Erie Canal, and it was at that point, you know, the age of 13 to 17, somewhere in there, that something clicked in him. Something, according to the neighbors that knew him at the time, they said, quote unquote, he was completely devoid of cleanliness, spirituality, and education. And what I do in the book is, at that point, I bring in an actual doctor that he worked with, Dr. Lespinard. And he ran a small drugstore in Rochester, and it was that man who trained him in the field of herbal medicine. And those are actual events. That actually happened, according to the books and footnotes and everything. But being a novel, I kind of twisted some things here and twisted some things there. And it was when he grew up and left the doctor's care that some of his other adventures occurred. He went later on up to Toronto and opened, I don't want to call it, a home business up there. And it was actually there, I think, in Toronto, that he married up there. And his first love, his first sweetheart, as it were, was a prostitute. And her name escapes me right now, but they got married, and she was far older than he was, and when he promised her he would give her this and give her that, and he was a great man, and they traveled the world and see the pyramids and everything else, but once a prostitute, always a prostitute, and she couldn't give up her trade, and he saw that early on, and vowed never to be in the reach of another woman at that point. But he stayed in Toronto, and his work, medical work at that point, concentrated on what he called fallen women, which were prostitutes. And in many cases, he became an abortionist for the prostitutes, and somewhere here in my notes, and I'm sorry I don't have it right handy, he was actually brought up on charges of trying to induce a pregnancy, and which brought about a near death or an actual harm up there. So he had Canadian officials after him for a little while, and so at that point, I believe, came back into Maine and made his way down into Boston. And then he pursued different avenues from that point. But we can go on to that in a minute if you have any questions right now.
Well, let's go ahead and what we'll do is give away the first book. Let's see. How do we want to do this? Do we want to do call-in?
Sure.
Rob, how about you pick a number 1 through 10, and we'll take that number caller,
number in the chat.
And we'll put the number in the chat, and we'll also say the number out loud, and that number caller will come in, and we'll give them away, give away the first copy of the book, and also they can
which
ask
is
you
autographed too.
And it's an autographed copy by Rob, and we'll also let them ask you any questions that they may have.
Great. Let's start with number 7.
All right, number 7. Number is 910-338-1062. Caller number 7.
Get ready, go.
Did you put the number ready?
Sorry, I never do this good enough.
She hasn't been on the keyboard in forever.
Yeah, because somebody's a hog.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Pick on me. All right.
Caller 1.
Caller number 1. Caller number 2.
Caller
number
3. Oh, you didn't give him time to say something. I was waiting for him to say something.
Caller number 4.
Caller number 4.
Caller
number 5.
There we go.
Caller number 6.
Caller number 2.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Right. Somebody get that.
Caller number 3.
Oh my god.
Oh. There we go.
That was freaking weird. It was that one.
It was this one.
Yeah.
We've got caller number 7. Are you there?
Hey! Did I win something?
Yes, you did.
Woohoo! High five, Rusty. Oh my gosh.
Wow! G'day, Rob. How are you?
Oh my gosh.
Rusty, where are you?
Rusty's actually from Australia.
Australia? Wow, that's a... He wants that book overnighted to him.
Actually, we'll bring that book over in November of 2010.
Yeah, we have to wait another year.
When we come over there.
No.
Well, you are the proud owner now of an autographed copy of this wonderful book. How do you?
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rob. Really appreciate that. And guys from Sippy, I've actually won something because Kurt's not here.
So do
you're welcome, Rusty. Oh, I hope you enjoy it. I'll take any questions you got.
All right, that's great. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, no, look, I'm just speechless, you know. I just get so emotional at these moments.
Well, do you have a speech prepared?
I do. I'd like to thank my mother, my brother, and all of the little people out there that don't have radio shows and can't be a celebrity like me.
Yeah, and Francis Tumblety.
That's right. So, Dave, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to the show.
Well, can I have a question?
You said you did.
Well,
I think you should ask yourself.
All right. Where did you actually get your interest in the subject matter? Rob?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. I was thinking about that before we went on tonight. Was if you look at the context of when the murders are in the context, that's probably the wrong word, but the period of time that the murders happened, take a look at here in the States this past weekend. There was a mass murder of 8 people down in Georgia. Right now, that's listed number 6 in importance behind Chris Brown and Rihanna on the CNN website. Mass murders here in this country or in the modern era, they really don't mean anything because they're so commonplace. They happen all the time that maybe we're lucky if they stay in the headlines a day or two. Back then in 1888, newspapers were news. They did what they could because they were new to promote any story, and the fact that the Ripper was it was unsolved crime, it was grisly, it was in the poorest part of the city, made it, frankly, a romantic story. And that's what kind of got me in.
What I really find interesting about the Ripper case was that the early implementation of forensic technology, as it was, or such as it was back in those days, and the investigative techniques employed by what was really a fledgling police force.
Right. If you look at the crime scene photo of Mary Kelly, the last victim, that was the first actual crime scene to be photographed was Mary Kelly, and that photo is in the book, and it's pretty widely seen across online. And I do want to thank Stuart Evans of the UK for the use of the photos. But that was the very first crime scene photo, and you're right that they were pretty rudimentary at the time. You know, let's get everybody together, talk to everybody in the Whitechapel area.
That's right. Go on. Sorry.
And it's just a matter of the difference now. I think, of course, is DNA and the technology and all that. But they certainly did best with what they had at the time. And you know, let's face it. Can it be solved? No. Did Patricia Cornwell solve it with Walter Sickert? Yeah, she probably did. Though he spent most of his time in France during the murders, but
I think it'd be absolutely fantastic if they could actually employ today's forensic technology to. I know they've tried a couple of times to investigate the case, but I mean, personally, I would love to know who it was for sure. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, Eric.
I was just wondering if you were outside and you had like a bug zapper outside or something.
We're hearing
like
a zappy sound.
What is going on?
Sorry, I've actually got. Hang on. I've got. It's probably system at the moment. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
That was possessed.
All right, continue.
Anyway,
continue.
Rob, I think it's absolutely fantastic. So I'll head off now, and I'll let you get back to talking with the crew from Sepia. But I'll look forward to getting your book. I've actually read quite a bit about it, and being a forensic technician myself and an ex-law enforcement officer, I find the case quite interesting. So I'll be looking forward to that book with quite some anticipation.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
And we'll actually get that out to you by the end of the week, Rusty.
You better.
From there, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how long international mail takes, but... is it all right if we send it COD?
Great. That's all right, because I've sent you a big blow-up kangaroo COD. Anyway, this one... Eric, can I swap the book for Amy or Jess?
Which one do you want?
Both.
Hey, man, that's perfect.
It'll have to be COD.
That's an even trade.
All right, guys. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Bye.
Bye, Rusty.
All right.
That was good.
Yeah,
he's a hoot.
He's one of he does a show on the same station here with us.
Yeah, he's actually two shows before us. He's a great, great guy. And he will crack you up.
Yeah.
If I can take a minute to talk about a book that my company published just a little while ago for Barry Fitzgerald and Dustin Perry.
Yeah.
Sure, we'd be more than happy to.
Barry actually wrote the foreword to the book from Hell, and talked to him a while ago about it, and he takes, you know, he's real analytical about it. If you ever watch him on a show, he's done more. Get me interested in cameras than anything I could ever thought of being interested in. So he wrote the foreword for me, and I did ask Joe Chin from Coast Centers International also did a review for me, and he's did real well. He's real friendly with the review. But Barry and Dustin came to us about a few months back. They had completed a work called The Complete Approach, Scientific and Metaphysical Guide to the Paranormal. And a long title, but an extraordinary topic. and it gets into what makes things in the night go bump. You know, what I know something is in the attic, and I know it's Aunt Martha, but why is Aunt Martha still hanging around here? You know, so they kind of take that approach to it, and it's done extraordinarily well overseas now on Tesco, Barnes & Noble. And so it just came out, just hit the market, so I encourage your folks to take a look at that.
Fantastic. And if you do win a copy of this book, or if you buy the copy of this book from Hell tonight, make sure you guys give it a review on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
So there, we'll make sure there's a post-it note in there that reminds you of that also. And
I don't know, do they know that it doesn't even come out until September? Did we? Yeah, I mentioned
it,
that.
It's actually been out about 4 weeks now.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, oh my God, tomorrow is September, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, Nikes.
Yeah. Holy stuff. It came out about 4 weeks early, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now, we have two more copies of the book to give away. One of them, we'll probably do another call-in, but the other one, the only way you're going to win the other one is if you're watching the webcam.
Yes.
When you see the ghost on the webcam tonight, go by.
It's haunted.
Be.
First caller?
Yeah, be the first caller. And we're not going to give the number out, so we'll give it out now, so write it down. It's 910-338-1062. Be the first caller when you see the ghost go by.
And you'll win
and say, I love
orb catchers.
I love orb catchers. Okay?
And when be sure it's not dust now. You got to make sure it's an orb.
Well, they make them by Kirby.
Kirby makes an orb catcher.
Oh, that's right, Jason.
They make a handheld version, too.
Jason can't call out his stupid phone, so he can't try to win. Sorry, Jason. I totally
or Dustbusters.
Forgot.
But, yeah, if you're the first caller when you see the ghost, go by the webcam and all tonight. That'll be another chance to win a copy of this book. And then, of course, throughout the night, we'll have another call-in, and we'll get Rob to give us another number caller to call in. So.
Or if you do have Skype.
Or, yeah, if you have
you
Skype.
You can call us
You can call
Skype.
It's Sepia NC.
So, Jason,
is our Skype name.
I do believe Chris, your roommate, has Skype. Because
yeah.
We have his Skype number. So, if one of you guys want to win, what's Skype? Go ask Chris what Skype is, Jason.
All right. So, on to the book. Let's see. Now, this is such a wide range of stuff you can get into with Jack the Ripper. You know, you're going at it from such a different viewpoint than anybody else has taken it from, because so many people have gone through it from that he went through strict medical training to, you know, being a doctor, a professional, that he had a thing. He was out against, like, straight prostitution. Because of things of growing up, of being abused by his mom and women and stuff, there's such a wide aspect of things. With this guy, you know, being the herbalist and everything, and stuff, like, without giving away too much of the book, like, do you get into what his motive was behind everything?
The book evolves into what eventually becomes the motive, and certainly in the last chapter, if you guys want to skip ahead to the very last chapter, if you read the first couple of pages, you may have understood. I opened the book with a poem by John Keats, and right away the reader should get an idea of what Francis Tumblety thinks of the poem on women. And if I can just back up a little bit, give your listeners a little more on Tumblety, they can see that he was such an egocentric person. He was self-taught in a lot of things, medicine being one of them. He did learn surgery or medical skills at some point, because when he was in Toronto, he had a dinner. And this comes from a story I heard some time ago, and I might misquote a few things, but at this dinner, he was asked why there were no women there. And he said, I'd sooner give all the guests here a glass full of poison rather than let you around any of these hogs, quote unquote. I'm paraphrasing badly, I know. And after the dinner, he took his dinner guests on a tour of his house. And in his office, he had the desk and a bookcase and what looked like a closet. And in front of the closet was a long, long curtain. And he pulled the curtain back, and there was shelves full of jars. And in these jars were wounds.
Like, it's like women wounds?
Women's wounds. And he'd collected these.
Yeah, he did it.
This was his hobby for some reason. He collected them.
I don't even want to know why.
Yeah, it's like some people collect stamps.
Like stamp collecting.
Did he lick them? Like, that's just... That's a disturbed
Who
man.
Knows? You know, did he, like, keep him in a jar, like...
yeah, that's what he was saying.
And, you know, trying to make a...
All right, he preserved them, I want to say, some type of alcohol. And he kept them. And naturally, the people who were at this dinner remembered that. You know, all decades later, they say, man, I remember that dinner. I don't remember what we ate, but I remember going into that closet. And... So once he was found to be investigated for like we had mentioned earlier, inducing a pregnancy up there in Toronto, they were going to charge him with that crime. He beat boot down to Boston. And while in Boston, it's interesting, he kept low key. But he did create what he called a cure for pimples, for acne.
Huh. Well, I need
to. Yeah. Yeah, quite a different collecting wounds to popping pimples, you know, but this is what the guy did. But he made a ton of money doing this. And he opened branch offices in San Francisco, in New York, in Chicago, and he made a lot of money. Some accounts were $30,000-$40,000 a year in 1860, which is a ton of money.
Yes, it is.
One of his assistants he hired in New York was a gentleman by the name of David Harold, and that may trigger name with some of your folks out there. David Harold was later found to be in the company of John Wilkes Booth down at Garrett's Farm in Virginia, and that's why Francis Tumblety was arrested. Not much later, as part of the Lincoln assassination conspiracy, because he had hired David Harold. And David Harold, once they bring him to Capitol Prison in Washington, spills the beans and says, yeah, I'd worked with Francis Tumblety at some point. He was responsible for this, responsible for that, responsible for the other. Well, you know, that was his tie-in to part of the Lincoln assassination conspiracy. Nobody really knew what Tumblety knew, but he knew something.
Huh.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. Now I'm afraid I'm going to end up picking up this book tonight, and I'm going to, like I said, hear my alarm clock go off in the morning and have to get my daughter off to the bus stop at 6:20 in the morning, and I'm going to be reading it all day. I'm going to be sleepless. But, I hate cutting to a break, but I know our listeners need to go potty and
potty.
Now our listeners need to go potty and everything, but and Rusty, no, you're not going to get a used book, okay? But we're gonna cut to a break. It'll be about a 3-4 minute break, and we'll be back. And like I said, we have two more autographed books to get away. We have Rob Thompson with us, and we'll be back with Sepia RVP Radio.
Stay tuned.
Frantic personality, twisted dance of despair.
Welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio.
Bonjour! No, welcome back, everybody. welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio. And, you know, I'm not even paying attention to you anymore, Rusty. I can't do it. I can't look at the chat and
take the pinky out.
Here you go, Rusty. Mm. Just for you. Mm. All right. Now, welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio. I'm your host, Eric Dion. As always, I have my beautiful co-hosts, Jess and Amy.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. That was a wee ta-da.
I know.
You're way back there. You got to speak louder.
Ta-da!
There you go. All right. So, and we have a fantastic guest tonight with us, Rob Thompson, the author of From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper. Are you still with us, Rob?
I'm still with you guys. Yes.
All right. And we're giving away a couple of copies of the book tonight. So, and yeah. So,
We'd love with a hidden
beam. Did you guys see that? Holy crap! Hold on, I just saw a ghost fly across.
Uh-oh.
Across the webcam.
Where the hell did that thing come?
Oh!
Uh-oh.
Wait.
I can do this.
And hello!
Hello! I love orbs.
All right.
Break out the Kirby.
Who's this?
This is Dan Scott.
That's Scott. All right. Where are you calling from?
Michigan. And, so, yeah.
Fantastic.
Got another Michigander on the line with us.
Well, whereabouts in Michigan are you from?
I'm actually from Walled Lake, Michigan.
High
which
five.
Is like, you know, about a half hour from Detroit, maybe.
Yep. I was born and raised in Redford, but I lived in Novi for the last 2 years before coming here, so that's not too far away from where I lived.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to hang out in Novi.
The hush posh city.
So, Dead Scott, do you have any questions for Rob about this fantastic book, From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper?
Awesome. I'm so happy to be getting that book.
like I said, it's actually autographed by him. And like I said, do you have any questions for him about it? Or about why he wrote it or anything that he wrote in it?
Just kind of wondering, you know, how long he's been actually studying Jack the Ripper, or how long you spent researching the book?
The book took me about 2 years to write, and I read up on the Ripper probably 3 or 4 years prior to that, doing other projects at the time. So the book took about 2 years to write, and being a very anal novelist, I had to make sure that every word was right and every this was that. And I'm sure I missed a bunch, but it took about 2 years to complete.
Very cool. It's definitely a good, definitely an awesome subject.
Yeah, it is. And Francis Tumblety is one of those characters that we could speak all night about. And he's done everything from, like we talked about prior to the break, selling pimple cures to... claiming to be a Civil War general working for General McClellan, and being investigated as part of the Whitechapel murder. So you never know what happened with, you know, what this guy was thinking or doing at any time, and I hope we expressed it well in the book.
Cool deal.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, Scott, if you're in the chat room, if you could private message us your address, and we'll get that out to you ASAP.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And sure, I just read the chat room. Chris and Jason, I mailed your DVD on Friday, so you should be getting it like today or tomorrow. So take that.
So.
All right.
But yeah, congratulations, Dead Scott, and glad you got in there. So, now before I actually ask this, Rob. Before we came on the show tonight, we were talking about a couple other projects, like other books that you were going to kind of work on. And did you want to kind of share with some people, with the listening audience, about that, or did you want to kind of keep that a secret for now?
We can talk about that. We do have another book coming out by Barry Fitzgerald at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Called Darkening Shades of Light. Many of your listeners will probably watch Ghost Hunters International or TAPS. Barry is one hell of a photographer. He does amazing work with a camera. And this is a collection of photographs from everywhere they've been and seen and experienced. This is a collection of his photographs. We're publishing that for him, and that'll be out in late September. It's called Darkening Shades of Night. My next book is on a similar line as From Hell with Jack the Ripper. Is we're going to retell the story of Lizzie Borden, which, you know, she was a young lady with some personality problems, some would say. She had a curious upbringing and an adult life. We hope to tell that in a way that hasn't been told before.
Sorry. I'm a window licker. Yes, I am, Jason.
A window licker.
Yes.
she actually mailed out a... this is off the subject. Sorry about this. We had a DVD giveaway a while back, and she just mailed out the DVD Friday. But we're actually heading down to Georgia to where this person's going to be at this Thursday. So they're probably not going to get the DVD until this Wednesday, which she should have... just taking the DVD this Thursday when we got down there.
Oh, well, tell him about my brilliant. Mailed a postcard to myself.
And then she sent a postcard, and she actually mailed it to herself and all.
I got it today. I'm like, that postcard looks familiar.
Right, that's mine.
And so, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, did I really, like, freaking mail it to myself?
Are you going to get Dragon Con down there?
Yeah, we're going to get Dragon Con.
Okay, yeah, Dustin will be down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome.
We're actually working security of the assets to work
we're
security.
We're scary.
Okay.
And Mama Lisa and all contacted us and
we'll rant and rave about that in a little while.
Yeah, that's the whole second half of our show.
Go back.
Is going to be about the security thing, but we're looking forward to catching up with everybody from there. Of course, like
I just want to see a Klingon fight.
Going to be doing signing copies of the book down there, and he'd make a great guest for you guys at some point.
Oh, that'd be fantastic because it works out great because. Of course, Dragon Con ends Monday, and then, of course, we have Monday Night Show, and what we've done is left Monday Night Show open to discuss and recap Dragon Con. So hopefully we're going to see if we can catch a couple guests that are down there and stuff, and it's looking like it's going to be pretty great, and Amy's very anti-Star Trek, and I just informed her today how they informed me that they just added William Shatner along with Leonard Nimoy, and that they're wanting us to do the security for that on Friday. So,
and Patrick Stewart is there too, isn't he?
Huh?
Patrick Stewart is there as well, isn't he?
Yes, he is. So you got Jean-Luc Picard, Captain Kirk, and Spock.
I'll just stand at the door, check their passes, and be like, here you
go. And say, no, we can't let you in, sorry.
Right.
So.
No, I'll only let them in if they can actually do the, you know, the hand thing.
Live long and prosper.
And I can do it, too, without. So if they can't do it, they're not getting in. I'm going to make them fight each other. I want to see two Trekkies go at it. I do. I'm gonna make the nerds mad.
But it's fantastic. It's actually a really good thing. They ask us to do 25 hours while we're there the whole time. We'll be there Thursday to Monday and stuff. And then the rest of the time we get to hang out and see everything and enjoy ourselves. And honestly, we need the break from the kids from the area and stuff and. It's a good time for us, and it's a good time for us to meet up with a lot of different artists, a lot of different people in the field, from all different aspects and stuff.
I want my vampire effect.
So,
me too.
Yeah. So we're really, really looking forward to it.
It'll be different, that's for sure.
So, and then, of course, like the second half of the show here, in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be talking about, like, we have a big... conference that's coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina that we're going to be talking about and stuff that we'll be out along with a bunch of other people. So, but right now the main focus is actually the book From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper, and I don't want to get away from that.
I want
to promote this book because the more I look at this book, the more I thumb through it and stuff. Speaking
if you
of
want
stuff,
to leave the show and go read it right now.
I so do. You don't understand. Like there's few things that I get on, and like actually the other day I was on another show and they had a cryptozoologist and I was asking questions and Jess and Amy about beat me because they're like, why can't you be like this on our show?
Yeah.
And I was like
bam, 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 bam. Usually we're smacking them upside the head going, Eric. Do you have anything to say? He's like,
In your book, you have photos. Now, are these actual photos from like the scenes of there, or where are these photos from?
Yeah,
those are real things. Those come from courtesy of Stuart Evans, who wrote the book that came out a number of years ago, Jack the Ripper, the first American serial killer, and it was about Tumblety. He discovered. In a box of letters he purchased a number of years ago, a letter from Inspector Littlechild. I want to say John Littlechild. And he was head of the special branch of Scotland Yard back at the time, the Ripper murders. And according to Little Child, their prime suspect at the time was Francis Tumblety, and they let him go. They had arrested him on November 8th for what they called the unnatural acts. And they asked him to come back for trial. He skipped bail. 4 days later, he was indicted on Whitechapel murders. So that's the evidence that he found and he put in his book, and Stewart allowed me to use the photos from his personal collection inside the book.
All right.
Nice.
Eric's still, I'm showing people on the webcam some of the pictures
out of the book.
Yeah, Mary Kelly, the very last crime scene photo there, back towards the part of the book there. Like I said, that was the very first crime scene photograph. And you can tell what's remaining of her. She virtually, you know, cut down to the bone. But those are mortuary photographs, all courtesy of Stewart. So.
Yeah, there's some, yeah, I'll actually show that. Sorry.
He's hacking along off right now. He's getting over a really bad cold.
Do you
want to
know why? He just sniffed a marker.
He sniffed a marker?
Yes, he just sniffed. Oh, Lord. All right, I'm showing everybody.
This is what happens when you get air drinking wine.
Wine and marker for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Aaron.
You all right?
Yeah, he's fine. Okay, do we... What? Oh, my God. Oh, we apologize. I'm so sorry, Rob.
Just ignore him.
Do we want to give the last book away? Do we want to wait a little bit longer?
What do we want to do? Let's do it.
Let's do it?
Let's do it. Though somebody anybody was smart and paid attention.
I say caller number...
Four.
Oh, you read my mind! I laugh!
Caller right, number four.
910-338-1062.
Only $1.99 a minute.
Caller number one.
Gotta click on
Caller number one.
Oh my god. Whoa.
You gotta hit red.
Okay.
I don't know how to work this thing.
Alright. Come on. Come on, people.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Oh my god.
And this is why.
Caller number two.
Come on, Chris!
He's gonna be so pissed.
Okay, hit invite. There you go. Caller number three.
Black man.
Okay, and now, come on, Chris! You can do it! I'll laugh.
Alright. Well, this is slow.
If they already won, like.
Uh oh. We're gonna run into a problem here.
Sure.
No, that's not. No, do it. Caller number four.
Who is this?
Hello?
Disconnected. All right. Well,
we're still looking for a winner.
Keep going.
Caller number four, come on.
You guys can do this.
Caller number five.
Or five, actually, but four disconnected us. Hello?
What the crap is going on?
I hear something.
You there? Nathan?
Can you guys hear me?
Now again.
Hello?
You there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
You're the lucky call.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's fantastic.
Well, you are the lucky wiener.
So.
All right. Did you have a question for Rob?
No, not really.
No?
I'm just stumped to get the book.
It's an awesome book. Okay. So much.
Well, Nathan, if you're in the chat room, can you private message us your address and we will get that shipped off to ASAP?
Who do I private message?
Sepia. Sepia RVP Radio.
Yep. Okay, I found you. Thank you.
Okay, well, and Chris, congratulations.
Chris, you are so close.
All right.
Uh-oh. All right.
This one. There we go.
And then when you move. Sorry, I am a computer.
Yeah, we've changed up the format of the show a little this week. Sorry about that, Rob.
I am not a computer person.
We're playing musical chairs and giving everybody a chance to run the board and run the controls and everything. So.
and I don't know how.
And also, yep, everybody's learning things.
So, at one of the breaks, or actually before, we were talking about how you were going to be writing another book coming out soon here.
Yeah, I'm Lizzie Borden. We're going to start that as...
I didn't pay attention. I was freaking doing the webcam thing. Sorry.
That's okay. I don't mind redundancy. I don't mind redundancy at all.
With us, it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
It's going to be a fun book. We're going to... fun.
Thank you.
It's going to be on Lizzie Borden. We're going to tell the story the way that we told Jack the Ripper's. And I'm not going to say whether I'm going to tell it from her point of view or the point of view of her parents. I haven't decided which one yet.
That would be kind of interesting.
I'm freaking blind now.
I could see it going neat directions either way.
I injured my eye.
Yeah.
That's what you got to.
So I'm leaning towards telling the story from the point of view of her parents. No, why not?
Yeah,
go ahead, Eric.
I'm just trying to think of it. Of how are you telling it as from the point of view as of what they saw with her going on and what was going on in her life and then what led up to what happened to them, with her still being the killer or the prime suspect, because you know, like, everybody assumes that she was the killer. But it's just kind of like with Jack the Ripper. Nobody actually knows whether she was the killer or not.
And even if they did, you know, I kind of lump the Loch Ness Monster, Lizzie Borden, Jack the Ripper in the same pool. Mm-hmm. Even if they did know what it was and who it was, they're not going to tell because it's too big a tourist industry.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
it makes too much money.
I remember watching, it wasn't too far back, where I was watching something on one of the channels where they actually went to the crimes, you know, to Lizzie Borden's house and, you know, did a CSI kind of thing to the house to try and see if they could prove or disprove anything. And they actually, like, found some residue blood, like, down in the drain, down in the basement.
Yeah, they did the luminol or
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
But I'm leaning to telling it from the parents' point of view. And a novel will, I think for most authors, will develop itself as it moves along. You kind of set the first chapter or two, and you have a general idea of how you want it to conclude. And the middle parts fills itself in as you move along. That's what it Ripper and I'm comfortable with the Lizzie Borden story. So that's going to be... out, I hope, in time for next Halloween.
Well, that would be awesome. I can't wait for that one. Oh, shoot. Shazam! That's what we say to good books like that. Shazam!
Now, this was something else we kind of talked about before the show came on. Are you considering doing a book about OJ?
My last book was on the Buffalo Bills, and I know a lot of the old players real well. I'm doing a side project right now with that involves several former members of the organization, and off the record, a lot of the older players will say, and excuse me, you know, if I can cuss or not, but one of them said OJ shit in his mess kit this time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
A lot of them will say, looks like a chicken, walks like a chicken, and talks like a chicken. And guess what? It's not a dog. A lot of them, frankly, believe he did it, but will never come on record and say it. And those are guys that...
Especially if you're proven... if you were not, you were found not guilty, why would you turn around and say, hey, yeah, I did it?
I would.
Yeah. Why? Civilly, he was found, you know...
Didn't he write a book where he supposedly, you know, indirect, not direct, hypothetically speaking, I guess? Didn't he write a book on that?
Yeah, and they pulled it off the shelves real quick.
Hypothetically, if I were to do this...
This is how I would have done it.
I would never do that. I know many of the old guys real well, and, you know, some of them, the Super Bowl Buffalo Bills, live right around this area, and I know that's a minefield.
Yeah. You know. Yep, definitely.
Well, I wanted to thank you very much
for putting up with us. Yeah, we have about 2-3 minutes to wrap things up, and
so if you have any websites or anything like that,
start plugging away.
Plug away.
Alrighty, the book has been out for a couple of weeks now. We do have a website, summerwindpress.com. You'll be able to take a look at the book there. If your listeners would like to get an autographed copy, it's available there as well. And take a look at Barry's and Dustin's new book, The Complete Approach. We also have part of our website is dedicated to the publishing services that we provide. And if anybody has questions about publishing, before you go to anybody else, because I know from firsthand experience, that some of these other companies will really screw you. Give us a call, shoot me an email, and I will answer truthfully and honestly what you're looking at when it comes to publishing. And my email address is rob@summerwindpress.com.
Give me about a year, and I'll get up with you.
Oh, absolutely. We got stuff. We hope to have something with Kristen Gartland at some point. I'm trying to talk her into it. Former member of TAPS. We did something with Keith Johnson in June, actually.
Yeah,
we
had Keith on last week, and it was Keith Johnson. Awesome.
It was a good show. Now hopefully we can line something up with
Dustin or Barry.
Dustin and Barry.
I'd put myself.
Honestly, just so our listeners know, this next month or two is it's a big book month for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Atlantis Healing out of the UK. We have a couple of their authors coming on over the next couple weeks also. And Rob here has been fantastic. Actually, it was Rob that hooked us up with Keith last week.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he'll be able to help us out with Barry and Dustin down in the future, so who knows what's going to happen. So, but
yes. Well, but, thank you so much for sending us the books.
Yes.
And I will tell you this, I will have that book read within the next week, actually probably within the next 3 days.
If you get the first chapter is kind of difficult, but get through there and I guarantee you won't be able to put it down.
I can read it on my way down to Dragon Con.
Yeah, it will probably be one of those things where one of us reads it on the way down, one of us reads it on the way up. I'll probably read it beforehand.
Very little quiet time to read in this house.
Yeah, a 3-year-old, a 9-year-old, and everything else between the group and the radio show and everything, and animals and everything else going on.
And ADD.
ADD. But we will make sure we post fantastic reviews for you on Amazon.com, and so you have nothing to worry about from us, and we will make sure our listeners out there that buy your books. Oh, speaking of buying it, for those listeners that did not win the book, besides Amazon.com, where else can they purchase your book from Hell, The Final Days?
That's been best to us is Barnes & Noble. BarnesandNoble.com. Books a Million down through the South down there has been real good to us. Any brick-and-mortar store, Borders, overseas, Tesco.com. I think even down there in Australia, on Amazon down there. But do Barnes & Noble a favor. They really helped us out for a couple of years now on BarnesandNoble.com.
All right. Well, awesome. Fantastic. What we'll do is, I know Jess hasn't given Frank forewarning, but hopefully Frank's listening. We'll take about a 2-minute break here. And when we come back, we'll be getting actually Dave Donger on.
Yes.
And all to talk a little bit. And then we'll be talking about some stuff that's going on in the life of Sepia and Sepia RVP. And some other things that's coming up in the future.
And we got paranormal news.
And then we have the paranormal news, sports curses and hexes and all that stuff.
With my brother.
With your brother Eric Schultes coming up at the last half of the hour. So,
yes,
everybody.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And we'll be talking about pancakes.
Pancakes, yes.
With Uncle pancakes. Tom. So, everybody stay tuned. And, Rob, once again, thanks for being on with us. And Frank, if you're listening, I hope you are. Send us off to break. Find him.
He's up at the top.
I can't see him.
Welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio.
Right, hello.
Oh wow.
Vivi.
Well,
Sava.
Thank you, everybody.
Majima.
Eric
doesn't know what he's talking about.
I think
about.
Eric's a little drunk.
I'm far from drunk.
Bull hockey.
I am buzzed, but I am not drunk.
Okay.
Bull hockey.
They're calling you a lightweight. So, anyways, yes, we have to call our Australian correspondent this week, don't we?
You know what? Ooh. I just realized that the webcam mic is on the whole time during that break. Duh.
You look like... How's it going?
Oh, wow.
Open your eyes, Eric.
You know, I haven't drank in a while. You know, honestly, since you've been here, have I really actually drank?
Nope, she has.
I have.
You have. But have I?
Nope.
And that's been since?
April, May.
Beginning of May.
May? Nope. So that's June, July, August. That's like 3 months. Yeah. It's been since I picked up something to drink. So, we're going to call Eric after the show.
Can you tell where this show is going?
Oh, yeah.
Mildly?
You can call me.
Okay.
How do you go?
You gotta go up, sweetheart.
Oh.
How?
Scroll.
Up.
See that little thing? No.
And that
one. Right there.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
There. Now see that?
Yeah.
Now see there?
Rusty.
Right there. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Now you guys scroll down on that one.
I'm so confused.
Okay. All right. But,
this is a classic show for all of you.
Eric will not drink wine on air again.
I want some pancakes. Don't buy them from my aunt or my sister.
We
aunt
have
mama.
A phone call coming in.
Hello.
Hello.
G'day.
Oh. Dave Donger. And we've got Uncle Tom in the house.
Dave Donger the Slugger.
Uncle Tom.
That's what he's called himself. He's
Uncle Jemima.
You want
no.
some pancakes?
Aunt Jemima is my sister. I'm Uncle Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want?
What do I have to call him?
And you got a boomerang?
Hey, the bloody hell's calling me this time of the day. Oh, g'day, guys.
Do you like artichokes?
What the heck is that? What the heck is that on your head?
Can I answer? Can I answer?
That's Shanae's head wrap.
It helps beating up my syrup.
How you going, guys?
Oh, fantastic.
We're doing great. How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, I'm bloody fantastic, mate. Just bloody fantastic. So, listen, are we live yet?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, okay, because I've been writing poetry for the last couple of days, and I was going to share some with you, but if we're live, I won't.
No, please, we want to hear the poetry. I haven't had...
You sure? Because
I haven't had...
Poetry. It's really... I wrote it for the Sheila that I met the other night down the pub, you know, right after I had this Technicolor Chunder, and she come up and she asked me if I was all right, and she tried to throw me out, you know, big bull dyke sort of woman. You know, the sort with spiky hair and overalls and tats all up her arms and all that sort of stuff. But she was really good to me. But I wrote her this poem. Do you want to hear it?
Call me Lafayette.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. What is that? What is that? Is that an animal hanging out of your trousers there, Eric?
It's a wombat.
Oh my god!
Hey, wombats are amazing creatures, you know.
No,
because they eat leaves.
Oh, they eat more than leaves.
Anyway, I'll get back to me poem. It's really romantic. Is that all right? It's not going to make me seem like I'm gay or anything, is it?
No, not at all.
Do you like sweet syrup on your pancakes?
All right. So you just stop me if it gets boring, okay? You ready for it? This is the one I wrote for the Sheila that I met.
Oh, I can't.
There was a young girl from Projacket. She grabbed one of me sheep and hang on, my phone's ringing. I'll be right back.
I didn't hear any phone.
So yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. So what do you think of the poem?
That was it.
That was awesome. Absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah, I'm actually known over here as a real romancer, you know. Like,
so what do you think? What do you think of that rusty character?
That bastard.
I hear more.
You know, Rusty's all right, but he's a bit of a punce. You know, I mean, like, you know, he thinks he knows everything, but he doesn't really. But have you listened to his show?
Yes.
You know, honestly,
it sucks.
Oh, okay.
It really sucks.
You
I hate
said it.
We were just down there.
Yeah, I was listening to the Wiggles on radio the other day because that's really good entertainment, you know. Although I'm a bit worried about all these men running around in different coloured skivvies and that. But anyway, you know, like Rusty's show came on, so I turned off the Wiggles and went and listened to his show, and I was only there for about 5 minutes. I had to go back and watch the Wiggles, you know. So, because they've got that Dorothy the dinosaur, and she's really hot.
Wait, Dorothy the dinosaur? I've never heard of Dorothy the dinosaur.
Yeah.
I've heard of Dorothy the Explorer.
No, Dorothy the dinosaur the Wiggles.
I've never heard of...
I've
heard of Bendy. Hey, do you know Bendy?
Who?
Bendy.
The Crocodile Dundee's dude.
Not
Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin's daughter.
Oh, yeah, Bindi.
Girl.
Yeah, she's good stuff, isn't she, hey? Yeah, she's good stuff.
What do you mean she's good stuff? She's not even of age.
Oh.
No, she's got a dirty mind.
What? No, she's good stuff.
She's not she's not 12 yet. She's not at the marrying age.
Oh my.
Woo.
So, well, you know, we're in the outback and Sheilas are really hard to come by. That's why we've got a lot of sheep out here for the Kiwis. It's the only way we get them to come over and work for us. Anyway, guys, what have you been up to?
How's the sheep?
Eric, I'm watching the video, mate. Can I offer you a bit of advice about that thing you're wearing on your head?
It's gay.
Yeah, big time. That's like screaming queen sort of. You know, I'm sort of half expecting him to stand up and he's wearing a woman's dress or something. He's going to get on stage and start singing "Dancing Queen." You know.
Don't egg him on.
If Sally was in the chat room, I'd sing Sally from Sepia's song. It's raining men. You know, whatever.
I think me bloody ears just started to bleed then. anyway, guys, you got any good gay stories to share?
Did you say what stories?
Good stories.
Oh, I thought he said gay
stories. Gay stories.
How do you say
gay stories? Eric does.
I don't have any gay stories. I'm like gay. I just want some pancakes.
So I was just wondering, how do you pronounce your name? Is it Eric or is it Eric?
It's Eric. Eric. Eric.
You know when Skype comes across? You know when you hear Skype, it says Eric.
You don't do it right. Eric.
Eric.
Oh, I bet you'd say like that if she had that big fluffy thing she had in her hand before.
Huh?
Huh?
The big fluffy?
Huh? What?
The white fluffy thing.
Yeah, that big fluffy thing she had on the stick.
Because we can't afford a fluffer. So yes. We gotta have a... That, yeah, it's a fluffer. We have our own...
That's this is my pole fluffer.
That's the one. Now watch him say, Eric!
Eric!
It's in my
face. So, anyway, did I win a book?
Say what?
Did I win a book?
No, but Rusty did.
I bet you if you send some Kiwis over to Rusty and some sheep, then you'll be good to go.
I don't like that man. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, I think he has some mixed feelings towards you. But I'm sure if I send you guys a bottle of wine and stuff, some Shiraz. You know, and honestly, when I come over there in 2010, and I am looking like Shiraz is my favorite wine of all times. And
really?
I'd like
to see you sit in a pub and drink that crap. You know, afterwards.
I will drink it up.
You come over to Dunda Wonderwoo, and I'll take you into the pub, and you can order a wine. But I'll have to leave because I can't stand the sight of blood.
Sight of blood.
But anyway, listen, I want to tell you a story because this is really interesting, right? Because I was out in the back paddocks the other day chasing off the Kiwis from my from a new female sheep. And I don't know if they wanted to cook it or whatever. But anyway, I actually saw a ghostly kangaroo.
Are you serious?
Oh my goodness.
Crikey, the thing was big, I tell ya.
You said crikey.
Crikey.
Did it have a joey?
Ooh,
a what? A good joey.
No, we don't allow drugs on the premises here, mate.
Oh, jeez,
please. Hey.
So, Dave Duncan. But anyway, listen. What?
Do you mean
it's donga? Donga.
I said.
Can you say donga?
Donga.
Yeah, I won't go there.
Anyway, listen. You know, because we export a lot of that puffy wine stuff to the States. You know, they drink it. We're even sending it over to their French place, you know, where they eat all those frogs' legs and crap. But anyway, I decided that because we were exporting all this wine, that we should also export aftershave. So I've invented my own aftershave. It's called Donga's Delight, right? And it's got a picture of this ghostly kangaroo on the label. And all it is, right, it's quite simple. I mean, you can make it at home, but it just has an extra touch. What I do is I pee in each bottle, mix a bit of Kero and some brake fluid as well, and it smells really good. You should see the Sheilas at the pub, mate. They come a-running.
Whoa. I don't drink, so I don't want any of that.
I'll drink anything.
Yeah, can you tell?
Drink? No, that's aftershave, love. It's not to drink. Jeez, if you're going to drink, you know, we've got antifreeze for that. Yeah, but it's called Donga's Delight. Yes. So, you know, it's going to be hitting the shelves over your way fairly soon. We're getting a lot of customers from California because they'll wear anything.
Ah! Okay, hold on. Now I got to interrupt this. All right, Jason from Grass is talking about Christian covered pancakes. Now we're going to get this out here in the open. Okay, so Christian Day openly admitted that he had a thing for me.
Live on the air.
Live on his radio show.
And yeah, well, if you wear things like that in your head, I wonder why.
Oh, Lord.
It's another funny joke.
Shouldn't it be sexual eruption? All right. I don't know. Sally's
somewhere. Oh, okay.
All right. So, how about this, Mr. Donger?
Donga.
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 You bloody galah. Please, Donga. You know?
All I have to go off of is what the Kiwis tell me.
What do the Kiwis tell you, Eric? What about the green fairy? Yeah, well,
the Kiwis tell
you. You can't trust those line bars.
That's awesome. No, that's... Oh, my God. Do you...
All right.
You guys only have to deal with this for another little bit. We have to deal with this the rest of the night.
I got heartburn. I need to go.
There's some more wine you can drink there.
So what's going on there? Did Eric fart or something?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
I lost my train of thought, actually. let's talk about this. Sepia is actually getting ready to come over to Australia in 2010. And it's myself and the Sepia girls. What are the girls allowed to do over in Australia, and what are they not allowed to do over in Australia?
I don't want to end up in Australia.
Well, can I answer that with a puzzle, right? A puzzle. Are you good at puzzles?
Right now, no.
This is how I would answer that. All right. First off, I'd ask you, why did the woman cross the road?
To clean the dishes.
Who cares? What was she doing out of the kitchen? Well, you know, I mean, Eric, after you drink wine, I'm a bit scared to take you out anywhere. So me and the girls, we'll go out and I'll show them a good time, you know, like a real awesome good time.
Sounds good.
Look, I haven't drank in like 3.5-4 months.
You just told that.
And you admit that on air?
Yes.
Crikey.
Before I go over to Australia, I will drink for like a month straight so I have the tolerance to hang with you and
Ruth. Listen, drinking's not the Australian thing. Guzzling is, mate. Guzzling.
Hey, I got a question for you. This is always puzzling.
Sure.
Is Foster's actually like the official Australian beer, or is that just like some American like slogan like to try to drink that beer? Or is that just like...
We're Foster's. We export it because it tastes like cat's piss and no one drinks it over here, so they've got to sell it to the Yanks.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Because I think it tastes like
cat. Yeah?
Yeah, I can't stand it. I think it's like one of the most god-awful beers on earth. No, no offense.
You're right. It tastes like cat's piss. It probably is cat's piss. I can't say that on your radio.
You or anything, but
God,
it was just one of those things. Yeah.
Nah, you haven't offended me. Hey, listen, can I make a suggestion? Why don't you see if anyone out there in listening land wants to ask me some questions?
Does anybody out there in listener land want to ask Dave Donger any questions?
Donger. Yeah. So if you just call 1-800 Eric's a poof.
Did you say puff? Like P-U-F-F?
Oh, I'm gonna get myself into trouble now.
I should call my brother. I can't even speak right now.
Hang on.
Do you want to stay?
Hang on a sec, Eric.
Oh,
my son's got out in the sheep pen. Get off the bloody sheep, you mongrel! Sorry about that, mate. Got to keep him locked up. He's been hanging around the Kiwis too much. So, yeah, anyway, what were you saying?
I don't know.
You were asking him if he wanted to stay on.
Oh, did you want to stay on during the paranormal news and, like, give your input on the news?
Oh, Jesus Lord. Sure, why not? I'm always up for it. Just yeah, a bit of a nudge, wink, wink for the girls, you know?
Fantastic. All right, let's see.
To a break. No. Oh my God.
We're going to bring him right on.
Sorry.
Flip out.
Keep your mouth open. The flies will get in, you know?
We're going to bring him right on live. This is going to be great.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
Ask Dave if the dingo took Lindy's baby. Was that?
Hey,
you're live on the air with CPRVP
Radio. Eric
and Dave Donger.
We're gonna do something. Oh my God.
I'm hoping we're not live.
Oh yeah,
we're live.
We're gonna do it.
We're live.
We have a special Australian guest with us named Dave Donger, and Eric is drunk.
I'm not drunk.
G'day, mate. How you going?
What's that?
He said, good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
All right.
I guess you guys are having fun, eh?
Oh, yeah. This has been a fun, interesting night.
We're having a blast.
This guy's got a funny accent. Where's he from?
Crystal.
He's from Michigan. That's my brother.
Michigan.
Doctor. Yes.
Ah, he sounds like he's from Canada or something, you know, eh?
Hey, I'm close enough, eh?
Yeah, we are, eh?
My best friend's Canadian, so I it rubs off on me.
Yeah. All right.
So how's everyone doing tonight?
We're doing fantastic. If you want to go right into the news.
Yeah, I'll get started. You guys kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't really ready, but yeah, I got my stuff right here. So, all right, let's start in Hollywood again this week. We did it the last couple weeks we've been there. And it seems like they got something new happening every week. Last week we talked about the two new movies, hopefully the final Destination, and Halloween. Well, Final Destination was the number one movie of the week, grossing $28 million. Number three was Halloween, which took in $17.5 million. And coming in at number four was District 9, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, with $10.7 million at the box office. Also, last week I mentioned to you guys the new movie, New Moon, in the Twilight series, had a few trailers released. Well, last week, later in the week, they released pictures of a Volatari clan. Are you guys familiar with these guys? They're the ruling class of vampires in the books, and they give out to punishments for breaking the vampire laws in the books. Well, Dakota Fanning and Cameron Bright play the twins that are in this Volatari group. Supposedly these guys have the greatest powers of any of the vampires alive. I mean, I should say dead. The Volatari leader, Aro, is played by Michael Sheen, who's been in a bunch of movies lately. He was in the Queen movie about Elizabeth, and he's been in a couple other good movies. Anyway, check out the picks. They're at yahoo.com. You go to the movie section and click on Twilight, and it has all the new movies. This is beginning to be pretty good cast of characters, because not only are the original cast in there, now they're bringing Dakota Fanning and this Michael Sheen guy. Both of them are Academy Award winners. Speaking of vampires, you guys, last night, your show True Blood.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Sophie Ann, the Vampire Queen. She's played by Evan Rachel Wood. And I'm not watching the show, but from what you told me earlier. Yeah, from what you told me, Sophie Ann is summoned to town to figure out what the hell's happening in town, because no one, I guess, it's just going crazy there. And you told me some stuff, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't seen it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Amy, I'm sorry about this, but Wood is used to dealing with freaks of nature, because she dated Marilyn Manson for several years, so I figured...
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years, and then she dumped his ass, and now he's all fat and bloated out, looking all nasty.
Who, Marilyn Manson?
Sort of like I do right now.
Yeah, she broke up with him because of the drug use, and went downward spiral and stopped doing the drugs, and he gained a bunch of weight, and it's pretty weird looking. Wow.
Speaking of Final Destination, Selena. Don't let me forget before we end this show. I had an epiphany.
Oh Jesus!
Boy. Oh what?
Uh oh!
One more time, Eric. Go ahead. One more
epiphany?
Time.
An epiphany.
Had a girl named Tiffany. What'd you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Also, this is the last thing about Hollywood. There's a new with all these vampire movies and werewolf movies coming out. They finally came out with a spoof movie. The movie is going to be called Transylvania, and it's a comedy set at Razvan University in Transylvania. There's no trailers or anything out, and that was pretty much all the information they had, but it's going to be a vampire spoof movie called Transylvania.
That should be interesting.
That's what I figured. I figured it'd be pretty good. There's no cast or characters. It was just real brief description. So, do you guys remember a couple weeks ago I talked to you about a family that killed their niece when they were trying to exorcise the demon from her?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, this is a little kookier, but in Finland, a couple weeks ago, a few boys thought they'd play a trick on their neighboring girls' school in Finland. Anyway, they scaled the wall that separates the two hostels that the students live in, the boys on one side of the wall, the girls on the other side. The boys dressed as ghosts. They wanted to scare the girls. So they knocked on the door. The girls didn't answer, so they peered through the windows and started making strange noises. Well, it must have worked, because three of the girls were hospitalized for trauma, and one died from a cardiac arrest. So they scared the bejesus out of them, literally. It's kind of funny. I'm like, I've never been scared that I would, have a heart attack, but I guess these guys must have really been...
Hey, you never know.
Pretty good, right? I remember years ago, Mom, you remember that? When we were at the house in Winston or whatever? Yeah, that was...
surprised me for the rest of my life. It's now why...
Yeah, exactly.
Horror movies, not horror movies, but haunted houses and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, this is almost like TV come true. Police are hoping a psychic can help solve a series of murders in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Psychic Phil Jordan has been summoned to Albuquerque to help find a serial killer. The body count has reached 11 women, all buried when they were found over the last 2 years. Jordan has spoke with several of the victims' relatives, and the details are real elaborate, of things that only the people that are involved with the case would know. So either this guy is really a psychic, or he's the guy that's murdering these ladies, because he's from a different state. I think he was from Arizona, but I mean, he's close enough to New Mexico. But still, this guy, they're bringing him in. He is a renowned psychic. Like I said, his name's Philip Jordan, and they're bringing him in. Hopefully, they'll be able to find this guy. But it sounds like medium.
Nice.
Which is pretty much, it's going to be starting here in a couple weeks. It's on CBS now. You guys were just recently in Pennsylvania, correct?
Jess and I were, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There's a creature on the loose. A semi-transparent creature is spooking residents near Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. The creature is appearing only at dusk. Your ex-girlfriend, huh? The creature only appears at dusk, and he spooks pets and neighbors or residents. The creature is fast, leaves deer-like footprints. It's only about 3 feet tall. It doesn't appear to have any fur or feathers. Like I said, it's almost transparent. No fur, no feathers. It's been spotted in the trees and on land. So it's not like the chupacabra or whatever, where they say, you know, it just runs around. It has skinny legs and a dog-like torso, so that sort of seems like it might be something like a chupacabra. Yeah. But cryptozoologists are converging on the transfers. What's that?
If it had fur, it would definitely be my ex-girlfriend. She had a body like a dog as well. She has had a face like a dog, but I can't say that in front of you. You know,
excellent.
You know, it's quite funny because my mum said that if
what was that?
My mum said that if she had a dog that looked like my ex-girlfriend, she'd shave it and teach it to walk backwards so people would accept it.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious. Well, this last story isn't really about paranormal. I guess it might be, well, some of the characters can be perceived as not normal as to be paranormal. But Marvel Comics is being bought by Disney for $4 billion.
Wow.
What? By Disney? They're going to mess it up.
That's what I thought, too. That's what I said. So I'm wondering if the X-Men will be doing battle against, like, Goofy and, you know, Mickey Mouse or, you know, something like that.
That's like...
Goofy and Mickey.
How does Disney buy Marvel Comics?
It's like Spider-Man
For $4 billion, that's how they do it.
$4 billion?
$4 billion. Not $4 million, $4 billion. The Marvel Comics empire is getting bought by...
As long as they don't buy DC, okay.
Yeah, no, DC actually, they were just, isn't that Batman and Superman? They were bought by Warner Brothers, so Bugs Bunny might be doing battle with those guys.
You know.
Yep. This past week, I talked with Amy a little bit ago about this. There's a couple deaths that were pretty significant. Senator Ted Kennedy died after a lengthy battle with cancer. Kennedy was, of course, the last brother of the famous Kennedy family, so Camelot is officially dead. And it's funny because, remember last week I just talked about the Kennedy curse?
Yes, I know, and as soon as I heard that he passed away...
2 days later.
Yep,
2 days later he passed away. It was like, holy crap, that was kind of crazy that I had brought that up. But anyway, and then also dying the other night, DJ AM, famous DJ, Hollywood DJ and everything, died of an apparent drug overdose in his Soho apartment. DJ AM's real name, of course, is Adam Goldstein. He had a problem with drugs earlier in his life and actually had just got done filming a rehab show on MTV that he was the host of. So that's kind of crazy that he, as soon as he wraps up the show, he ends up dying from a drug overdose.
Right.
And, of course, last year, if you guys remember, he was in a plane crash that him and Blink-182's drummer Travis Barker were the only survivors. He was 36 years old.
Yep, which reminds me again. Again, reminds me of my Final Destination story. Don't let me forget.
We will not let you forget.
All right, I'll give me about 5 more minutes. I'll be done here. I'm all done with the paranormal news. A couple cool things happen in sports. Of course, every year in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the Little League World Series is hosted. And this year was an amazing final game. The team from Chula Vista, California, defeated Chinese Taipei, which, of course, is formerly Taiwan. They beat them 6-3. The team from California, get this, was led by a 13-year-old, 6'2", Luke Ramirez. This kid was 6'2". He was 13 years old and had a mustache.
Sounds like a girl I dated once, too.
It sounds like your girlfriend, huh?
No, another one.
His girlfriend's also, right.
She had a beard.
A beard, okay, I gotcha. This was the first time that a team from California had beat a team from Chinese Taipei or Taiwan in the history of the World Series. This goes back many, many years. Teams from Chinese Taipei had outscored teams from California 67-4 in the finals. And then they ended up beating them. It was the 7th time that a team from California had won the World Series. And before the game, Vice President Joe Biden and former champion, World Series champion, and current NHL star Chris Drury were honored before the game. Biden grew up in Pennsylvania playing Little League Baseball, and Chris Drury, he played for the Avalanche, he now plays for the New York Rangers. He won the World Series in 1989 from a Boston, Massachusetts team, and they coincidentally beat Taiwan. It was kind of a cool little tribute they gave to him before the game. I've been talking a lot about the NFL, and I'll be talking about that in a few minutes here. But this is the first college football story we got, and it has to do with my own Michigan Wolverines here in Michigan. Yeah, well, it's not good news, though. Coach Rich Rodriguez is in some hot water. Several of his ex-players and a few unnamed current players have filed complaints with the NCAA, claiming that Rich Rod has broke several NCAA rules for practices. The complaints are the practices are longer than what they're supposed to be. You're only allowed to have 4-hour practices a day, and up to 20 hours a week is all the practice time you're allowed to give these guys. And some of these guys are complaining, saying that they kept them for 5, 6, 7 hours, you know, doing practices and then films after practices. And what this 20 hours is only physical. They can keep you for any more amount of more time after that. So he's saying that nothing was wrong. But Michigan fans, you know how they are, Amy. They're pretty crazy. I'm not one of them. I'm a decent Michigan fan. I don't get all crazy when things happen. But they're calling for his head. They don't want him on the team. And they were mad at the hire before. And they don't want him there. You know what it sounds to me? It sounds like some of these players have never worked this hard, and they're a little pissy about it. I think they need to grow up. They want to win in the NCAA, which Michigan needs to do. But anyway, this week I'm talking about the NFL. The Lions looked impressive, Amy. They look good. I'm liking that Super Bowl all of them a little bit more. I'm just okay. If they win 4 games, I'll be surprised this year.
Who?
They look good. They beat the Colts the other night, 18-17. Drew Stanton led them down the field with 4 minutes to go. Scored the game-winning touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Last night, Jay Cutler returned to Denver playing for the Chicago Bears. He was triumphant in his return, winning 27-17 over the Broncos. Mike Vick played the other night. He looked pretty good. He went 4-for-4 for like 75 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. But the Eagles squeaked by the Jaguars, 33-32. Tom Brady left the game with a shoulder injury. But he's all right. Yeah, exactly. They this was precaution. They wanted to get him out of there. But they beat the Redskins 27-24. The defending champion Pittsburgh Steelers shut out the Buffalo Bills 17-0. And just tonight, Brett Favre looked pretty good. He had one touchdown pass, and Adrian Peterson ran for another one, and they won 17-10. Over who the heck did they play? Who cares? They won 17. Oh, they played Houston. That's what it was.
I guess I'm three.
And then this week is the beginning of the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows, New York. For all you tennis fans out there, the oldest tennis tournament in the world. It's in tennis history, I guess. Started in 1881. It's the longest tennis tournament. Today, with no surprises, both Wimbledon champs Serena Williams and Roger Federer advanced to the next round. That does it for my sports report. I'm running out of curses, guys, but I got one more sports one that I'm superstitions, actually, or curses. I found one this week is pretty good, and I got another sports one next week, and then I'm pretty much out of it. This one here is called Tecumseh's Curse. Has to do with the presidents of the United States. Tecumseh was a Native American Indian, and he did battle with William Henry Harrison's troops, and they defeated the Native Americans, and the word has it that Tecumseh did a curse on William Henry Harrison, and the curse goes this way, is every 20th year, from 1840 to 1960, every U.S. president elected or reelected in this 20th year has died in office. Starting with William Henry Harrison, he was elected president in 1840. He caught a cold that year and died before he was only in office for a month. The shortest term for a president. 20 years later, in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected and was assassinated 4 years later. James Garfield was elected president in 1860. He was shot in 1880. He was shot in 1881, a year after he was elected. William McKinley was elected in 1900. He died 2 months later in office. There's a couple other ones. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected in 1932. He died in 1940. I'm sorry. And then in 1945, he died from a brain hemorrhage. And finally, John F. Kennedy was elected president in 1960. 3 years later, he was killed. The only other one that broke the two that broke the curse were Ronald Reagan, who was elected in 1980. Of course, was shot, but didn't die in 1981. And to much of our chagrin, we wish this one would happen. But George Bush was elected in 2000, and he survived, of course, both terms. So that's all I got for that. That wraps up my time tonight. And please, 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 I only have one more left. Send me any suggestions you have. SepiaRVPNews@sepianc.com.
I actually have an email for you, Eric.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't get to forward it over to you. Okay. That's my bad. And it actually has to do with some stuff up there in Michigan. So.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah, pass it on to me if you can, and I'll look into it and get back and see what we got going on there.
Thank you.
Let's hear about your final destination story.
My final destination story actually has to do with what a lot of people have been asking about DJ AM.
DJ AM.
Shut up. thanks to a bottle of Campus Oaks tonight. And 3.5 months of not drinking anything. But if you think about it, if you think about it,
deja vu.
You know, DJ AM and his death is kind of like a Final Destination movie. You know, he dated Nicole Richie and didn't die. You know, he survived a plane crash and didn't die, mm-hmm. and finally death caught up with him through overdose and he died. You know, and I just had to bring that up. I was thinking about it today while driving around. I was like, you know, it's just funny. It's kind of like one of those stupid Final Destination movies.
Wow.
Yeah, finally caught up with them.
Extremely.
All right, you guys sound like you're having a good time. I'll talk to you next week, and have a good night.
Thank you Thank you for putting up with our silly shenanigans.
Yeah. I didn't blow you off. I was just
kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Ignore my drunk little boy over here.
All right, man. You guys have a good time. I'll talk to you later. See you later, Australian guys. Right.
Thank you.
Hey, take care, bro. And right. Have a good. I'll get that email over to you.
All right, bye, man.
Want to pat the pussy? What?
Yeah.
Eric, shut your face. Oh my god.
Okay. Yes, I want to clear something up in that last. Freaking sign that you put up. It looked like it said nipple.
Well, apparently you didn't say it quite enough when I. Oh, oops.
Yes, it did sound like you said it looked like nipple.
No, or nipple. I said. Okay.
Because even Brian said that's what I read, and my brain went ahead and forced to say nipple school, and I thought about it.
Look. I wasn't so worried about the nipple thing, but I really wanted to pat that pussy, you know? That was a pussy.
Well, yeah, we did have a pussy cat in the webcam. Yes, we had my pussy cat. That's Nancy Drew in the case of the missing batteries.
You know, if this wasn't public radio, I could say something like, yeah, she had a pussy on the webcam, but, you know, so we can't say that.
No, we can't.
You know, it's a full moon out over here.
Cat.
It's
full moon.
I don't know.
Excuse me. Hey, did you get me fart catcher?
We didn't get the fart catcher.
Did you send it?
Yeah, I sent the fart catcher a few weeks ago. I even sent you a sample.
Oh,
well, you know, international mail, it might take a minute or two longer, so.
I
could probably customs open it and kept it for themselves, thieving mongrels.
What the hell are you doing, Eric? He had the thing over his head. Oh, my goodness.
I am Zorro.
If anybody can see my hand language right now.
YMCA instead of YMCA. We're gonna spell.
Oh dear, that looks rude.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, listen, guys. I've got to shoot off. You know, I've got to do some work around here, and the woman, you know, she's nagging at me, and I've got to go, have a little chat with her.
So the cat's going nuts. She's eating bugs.
Bugs.
Well, thank you, Dave Dunga.
Dunga.
Calling in.
No worries. It's a pleasure as always. You know, I mean, Eric's all right, but I always just come on to talk to you girls. You know, because you're all right, Sheila's.
Eat.
All right. Well, you have a good one, and I'll catch us later. This is Dave Donger from down under in Australia.
And next time you see Rusty, make sure you tell him hey. And tell him that you want to tune up his boomerang.
Yeah, he probably would want me to do that, the big poof. All right, guys. You have a good one. Catch us later.
Take care, and we'll talk to you later.
Peace out, babe. Dong up.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Can this go down any further?
No, of course not. We have...
Yes, seven. He does look like Lafayette, Sally. We so said that earlier. We were like, he looks like Lafayette from True Blood.
You just want me to come over and fry you up some eggs. So shush.
Ooh.
He's selling that vamp blood.
You want some V, Sally? Mm.
All right.
All right. We got 7 minutes. To talk about where we're going to be in the next week, where we're going to be within the next month,
this next week,
what we're going to be doing in the next 2 weeks, who's all invited.
Anyone's invited to our shindig.
So we got to spit it out.
Spit it out. Well, this week, we are going to be...
oh my God, I'm talking about the cat.
We're going to be heading out to... Where are we going?
This week?
Dragon Con! Yes, can't wait. We're going to be security with our huge muscles. And I'm going to watch two freaking Trekkies beat the crap out of each other. And hopefully they'll throw in Pokemon in there. And I'll be like, hell yeah.
We're going to watch Pokemon and Wolverine battle it out.
Shing, shing. And then, what else? Next weekend was supposed to be... the weekend of our event that got postponed. So instead of, I'm just gonna freaking talk. I'm just gonna keep going.
That's Brian.
What about porn? Ghost porn?
No, internet. That's what Brian said.
Just keep going.
Anyway,
keep going.
The weekend that we were supposed to have Phantasm, we are now going to be having a huge party at the house.
Yes.
So,
it is open invitation.
Anyone can come.
We are in North Carolina. We are not charging anything for tickets.
No.
It's a free event.
All the cat suicide. Kitty cat suicide.
Sorry, cat's trying to jump out a second story window.
That would have been some flat pussy.
I'm going to kick him in the head.
November, we've got...
We will be
Paranormal
at...
Paranormal Investigators Convention.
Bill.
In Charlotte, North Carolina.
And it's www.ls-pic.org. Org.
Not dot com.
Do not go to dot com.
No.
Do not go to dot com. Dot org. O-R-G. I stress. O-R-G.
Is it? What is it?
Okay.
www.ls-pic.org.
PIC.org.
Don't do dot
com. Not dot com. You don't want to go there.
It's nasty. Yeah, it's... Well, some of them actually might want to go there, so...
If you're lonely and stuff tonight, then you can go to dot com. But if not, go to dot org.
It's not a good one.
And if you want to read up on us and all the other fantastic guests like Ghostology... And
Tom and Dave.
Tom and Dave, and Brian, and Keith Age, and Dave, and Tango, Mama Lisa,
Psychic Tiff,
all those
and
people.
The Girls
Patrick of Sepia. Burns, Girls of Sepia.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
We'll be there. So you better be there. Go buy your tickets.
Yes. Now.
And Eric's going to make out with my cat.
Eric likes the what?
The I'm not saying it.
Anyway. Don't.
Yeah.
What the
hell? That was my hair tie.
Okay. It's like something hit the wall. Ka-ching.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And other than that, if you guys want to go to the party, send us an email over. Just go to the website. You can email us from there at sepianc.com.
If you have any questions for us within the last 3 minutes.
3 minutes. You got 3 minutes.
You got 3 minutes to ask.
So you have 3 minutes left.
And you can call us for only $1.99 a minute at 1-910-338-1062.
Wow, Eric, that was...
And I will personally make you pancakes and pour syrup all over them for you. So call now. Sepia, RVP.
I think we need to, like...
Oh, no. I am officially...
Of course not, Selena. Selena, I have seen you drunk. You are hilarious.
Selena is the best drunk ever.
Selena is funny when she's drunk. Whew.
You're getting up there.
And I'm not even drunk. I'm just buzzed.
Bull.
I'm just buzzed.
Bull.
I'm not even drunk.
You were sniffing marker hockey earlier in the show.
I got curious. I wasn't drunk.
Curious? Are you curious, Eric?
At times. Look, $6,000 is a lot of money.
I'm going to fall over and I'm not. I'm a big monster. Oh no. We're not going there. Oh my God, we have 1 minute left.
All right.
Thanks.
We got one.
Baby infant Jesus.
And look, I got one sip left. I made it one bottle of wine through one show.
All right. Oh my.
No. What the hell is that crusty stuff? Oh my God, what is that?
Anyway,
what is that?
I don't...
What the... Oh my God!
Do you want to end the show like that?
Oh my...
Don't end the show yet, Frank.
Alright, next week we'll be recapping...
Dragon Con.
Dragon Con, yeah, we'll be security at Dragon Con this coming weekend. So we'll see you Monday night, Dragon Con.
Thanks, baby. We can hang over tomorrow morning.
We'll have some special guests, maybe. So who knows? It's going to be a surprise show. So you guys take care. And,
oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you.
I got to pee so bad.
Good night, everybody. Oh, my God.
And, Frank, you can take us out whenever you want.